I'm suiting up!
Welcome to Dr. 3, a Hearthstone podcast dedicated to giving you explosive growth and climbing the standard ranked ladder. I'm your host, Daring Alkaline, and along with me are my fellow hosts, Nicolias and Mage of Death. Welcome, guys, to week 2, where we will be discussing the class of Druid this week in our 9 weeks session to cover all 9 classes in Hearthstone. First up, Mage asked a poll question at the end of the episode and wanted to recap it. So, Mage?
Yeah, so we, with our discussion of Dr. Boom Mad Genius, I wanted to get the community's opinion of what hero power do you least like seeing when facing Dr. Boom Mad Genius. And we had about 40 votes, and 80% of them were Blast Shield and Delivery Drone. So, like me, you all don't like seeing those two come up either. And actually, Blast Shield got 2 extra votes. So Blast Shield was the winner, but they were both very close. And I think it's really interesting. I think the realization I came up with after thinking about it a little bit more was, I think when I have a board, Delivery Drone is the one I don't want to see more. Mm-hmm. And when I don't have a board, Blast Shield's the one I don't want to see more often. So
I feel like it's Delivery Drone personally, because like if I can push through more armor. It's the fact that whatever they get off Delivery Drone is going to be board clears, you know, it's removal. So that's why I voted for Delivery Drone.
I think generally Delivery Drone is the worst one to see, but if you're in the stage of the game where you don't care about having a board anymore and you're just trying to go face with like Aggro Shaman or something, then yeah, getting Blast Shield is definitely the worst one to see.
Yeah. So I just want to thank everybody for participating. We're going to try and do a poll question every week. We'll have one at the end of the episode and that we'll post on Twitter. So definitely love hearing your feedback.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, big news this week, guys. We have a announcement for the new set, Saviors of Ulduin. I am fairly excited about this. It's always nice to see this big shift in the meta, and we've already got what, like 8 cards revealed already, and unless I'm missing something else, I'm looking at what I think are all the cards that have been revealed so far, and it all looks very interesting because they've introduced a new mechanic, which is Reborn. And if I remember correctly, when a minion with Reborn dies, it'll be respawned with 1 health. So kind of like Twin Spell, in a sense, where you
it's kind of like the Paladin Secret Redemption, mm-hmm. except it's on all of your minions or all the minions with Reborn. So it's especially powerful on things that have Divine Shield. Or in the case of Restless Mummy, Rush. So Restless Mummy is a 4-mana 3/2 warrior card with Rush and Reborn. So when you compare it to Militia Commando, which is a 4-mana 2/5 Rush with the battle cry of gaining +3 attack the turn that it's summoned, it's much, much more flexible than that card. It can hit 2 minions on the same turn. It can be a hit 1 minion for 6 as opposed to 5. It can break through a Divine Shield like Gazilliax in the same turn. So,
yeah, it just seems better when you can split the stats out. It always seems a little bit better to have, 6/5 or 6/3 instead of 5/5. So,
yeah, I think I still like Militia Commander a little bit more, kind of in the general aspect of it. But I definitely can see a lot of advantages to having the mummy in your deck, specifically if you're trying to deal with early aggressive opponents, being mm-hmm. able to take out 2 creatures rather than just 1. because the Militia Commander has, say, like a 2-2 or something after it goes and kills something, isn't going to be as impactful as that extra 3 damage that you do the turn it's played.
Yeah. It's definitely a very flexible card, and I think you can obviously debate which one's going to be better, but yeah, the Restless Mummy seems like a very interesting tool for a control-style warrior.
Yeah, it might even be worth running both of them, or some combination of, you know, maybe 2 of one and 1 of the other, that sort of thing, because you only, right now, are a lot of the decks are running Khound Crier, which actually pulls a rush minion from your deck, and you only are running 2 Militia Commanders and a Ziliax in the deck right now, and so the odds are, a lot of times, it seems like you get the Town Crier, and you've already pulled almost all of, or all of your of your rush minions if you don't have it on turn 1. So
maybe
you do run a little bit bigger rush package.
I completely agree. What I was theorizing was cutting Militia Commander down to 1 and running 2 of the Restless Mummies. But obviously we'd have to see more of the cards, see what comes out. But to me, this card just fits like right into Bomb Warrior right now. So I'm already pretty excited for the card so far.
Also, quests are back.
Reintroducing quests. I love that terminology. We're reintroducing them in case you forgot.
So this kind of feels like what they're doing, instead of releasing new hero cards during this set, they're giving everyone a quest, and your quest reward will change out your hero power.
Yeah, so instead of having to play the quest, fill a condition, and then play the card that you get, like play the Caverns Below, or the Nether Portal or something, that was the Warlock quest, or Queen Karnas or whatever it is, you just automatically get the new hero power. So it reduces the cost of the quest by 5, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have 2 quests revealed already. 3? Oh, did a third one get revealed?
We got the shaman one revealed later, a little bit later.
So, okay, then you guys might have to talk about that one. So I see Supreme Archaeology for Warlock, quest, draw 20 cards, reward Tome of Origination. Which do we have? Has that been revealed what that does?
Yeah, so it is a 2 mana hero power. Draw a card, it costs 0.
Okay. Yeah, that seems good, but you have to draw 20 cards.
Yeah, this is pretty much the only way to feasibly do this right now is with Plot Twist.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. Yeah,
and I still feel like you have to. I feel like you almost want to figure out a way to put more minions back in your deck. So like Augmented Elec would be one way of doing that. But it just feels like there's quite the tightrope between the loss of tempo to try and draw that many cards.
Yeah.
You might need to, unless there's some really good draw cards in here for Warlock or neutral minions.
Because there's Portal Fiend or Portal Keeper? The one that drops 2 portals in your deck that summon 2/2
those
demon.
Would work.
Yeah.
But you don't really want to be getting those after the reward. So that's not great. Like, the payoff for this hero power is extremely high. Getting anything that's, you know, more than like 4 mana down to 0 is just extremely powerful. Anything over 4, you know, get to 5, 6, 7, 8, it just becomes incredibly busted. But to get it done is going to be potentially difficult. So if Warlock can consistently get this done without falling too far behind and dying, I think that this is going to be extremely powerful.
Yeah, well, they would need some sort of life gain. I feel like they would need something like Spellstone, like they had before, you know, to gain them life, to really keep them in it. The way the state of the game is now, but obviously that can change when we see more of the cards to come out. So
the thing I would say is that you're still paying two mana because you still have to use the hero power to get the zero mana card. So even when it's zero mana, you're still paying the two mana just to get the card into your hand, and you're just not paying any additional mana beyond that. So it's still you're still paying for it. It's just a little bit different way of paying for it.
Well, that's why I said anything that you get with... We all know how busted Innervate used to be. Mm-hmm. So anything that you can get a free Innervate on is just amazing. And then anything that you get even more on top of that.
No, it's I totally agree that if you can get a reasonable size deck still to pull from after you're able to complete the quest and you're not dead... This could really be something.
Mm-hmm. And the Druid has their quest revealed as well. It's called Untapped Potential. So the quest is to end four turns with any unspent mana. And the reward is you get the hero power. It's a passive hero power that your choose one cards have both effects combined. So that is the Fandral effect.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't powerful at all.
Well, I mean, it's super powerful when there's jade idols kicking around. But I'm trying to think what... I mean, Nourish is not really seeing play right now since it got knocked up to 6 mana. About the only thing we're seeing is the Wrath still. Because of the flexibility of Wrath. Wrath is still an amazing... Choose one, and you're always happy to take Wrath. Or I think most times you are.
You got Power of the Wild as two.
That's true.
There's the Loa card that is seeing some play as well, potentially, as in the token decks. So there is a couple that are pretty decent that I could see definitely wanting the both effects on. The question is what are we going to see in this expansion that from choose one cards for Druid that will, you know, maybe encourage trying out Untapped Potential.
So here's my real question is, does turn one count?
No.
Okay.
You're spending all your mana to play the quest. So the earliest you could feasibly have it done
is turn without, five.
Like coining, you could like play it and then coin on turn one to get it activated. But besides that, the earliest you'd be getting it done is turn five.
Okay.
So the question is, do you get enough are you able to do it that quickly? Questionable. Is there enough choose one effects to make it worth it? Debatable.
Mm-hmm.
And is you lose your hero power of gaining one attack and one armor as well.
Yeah.
So if you're not playing like several choose one effects, it's just not worth it. Like, to be honest, I think that Fandral is a better card than this. I would rather have Fandral every single time in my deck over this card. Even if I only get one or two effects to go off of Fandral, I can choose those when I want it, and I don't have to waste mana on my turn, and I can still use my Druid hero power.
Yeah, and he was a 3/5, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a 4-mana 3/5.
Yeah, and those stats on that body, and he was basically, he had passive taunt.
Yeah, I mean, he did also curve into Nourish, which was the big thing, but even still, I would still run Fandral today.
Mm-hmm.
Over this quest, unless we just get a bunch of, like, if every single Druid card is like choose one this expansion, then we can, you know, have that discussion. But
yeah, right now
this isn't something I'm really looking at.
Yeah, I was gonna say, with what we've seen already, this isn't interesting too much. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then the third quest, if we want to jump into that, is the Shaman one.
I remember I saw the reward. I didn't see what the quest was.
Yeah, it's called Corrupt the Waters. So the quest is to play 6 Battlecry cards. And then the passive hero power that you get is 2 mana. Your Battle Cries trigger twice this turn.
So it doesn't seem like it's passive. It seems like you have to pay the two
no,
mana.
No, it is not a passive hero power like the Druid one. It is an active one that you have to...
So you have to pay the two mana, but then you get double Battle Cries the rest of the turn.
Exactly.
Okay. I don't know. I'm just trying to think what I see most commonly with Shaman right now, and it's kind of Murloc Shaman. And what are the battle cries they run? Is Sludge Slurper and
so you don't want to be playing quests typically in any sort of aggressive deck.
Yeah, I would agree.
Just
with
as
that.
A general rule, because you don't want to be wasting your turn one playing a quest. It one takes up a spot in your hand, and then two, you don't get to play a minion on turn one.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're looking at the control shaman variants, I would argue that Hagatha is a better card than having this. Just the value that you get out of Hagatha is much more than the value you get out of this.
I would agree.
Out of the quest. So you're either looking at some sort of a like Mechathune OTK with galvanizers,
mm-hmm.
or you're looking at some sort of mid-range, like the Mutate Shaman. I think that this would have been really, really good if Un'Goro didn't rotate.
Yes.
Because a lot of the elementals there had pretty good battle cries and synergizing off of each other. But as of right now, without seeing any more of the cards revealed or anything like that, I don't know. I'm definitely keeping my eye on this one, but hesitating a bit.
Yeah, for sure. I'm on that same boat. I'm just like, I don't see the practical use. And so are we all on the same page that all three of these quests are in their rewards are kind of like, at this point in time?
I think the Warlock one is the most interesting. It has the most powerful effect.
Yes.
But how you get it is very, very, very
costly. Yeah.
But they're interesting. I think that it's fine to have this kind of power level. I don't want to see, you know, another quest rogue or taunt warrior come up. So
mm-hmm. I can get behind that. So and then next are the plagues that are coming out. So it's rogue, shaman, warlock, priest, and what was the last class to get a plague? It's the same ones that get Wacky's Warrior.
Yes.
So the plagues are going to be AoE removal, and the only one we've seen as of yet is Plague of Death, which is a 9-cost priest spell. Silence and destroy all minions. Seems really good if the priest can make it that far in the game.
I think that's the big caveat.
Yeah.
One, you have to be playing priest.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you have to be getting till turn 9 consistently.
Yeah.
Besides that, it's a 2-mana more expensive psychic scream most of the time.
Yeah. And exactly. It's kind of hard to justify making it to turn 9. I mean, to be fair, still we have Mass Hysteria to kind of help in the middle, in the mm-hmm. mid game, but that's situational. So, but I mean, I don't know what to say about this one. It seems powerful, but I don't know what priest deck's going to use it. So,
it's tough.
The only other card I really want to talk about that was interesting, if quests are going to be a thing, I really like Questing Explorer.
Yes.
Battlecry, if you control a quest, draw a card.
Yes, this card is amazing.
Yeah, it's a 2-mana, 2/3. It's
solid.
Yeah. It's statted well. It draws you a card. It's a good 2-mana card, which this game is kind of lacking as of late.
This is Arcanologist to Tempo Mage
mm-hmm.
for quest decks. Like, They're the same stat line. They do very similar things. Arcanologist had the added benefit that the secrets costed 3. So you could go Arcanologist on the next turn. If you had the Kirin Tor, you would play that. And if not, you could just play the secret and it was a fine curve. So you're not getting as good synergy, but 2 mana, 2/3, draw a card is completely busted. That is +1 attack and +2 health over Novice Engineer.
Exactly. And you always have a quest in your hand on turn 1. So if you're going to be playing a quest, this card is incredible. So
yep, neutral, so it can go in any quest deck.
Exactly. So this that one's just incredible.
I'd find it hard to believe that most every quest deck is probably going to have this in their deck as well.
I would assume that's the most ideal curve. If you're playing a quest, you want to go into Questing Explorer on turn 2.
I'd agree. So I do want to talk very, very quickly about one more card.
Okay.
Puzzle Box of Yogg-Saron.
Puzzle Box. Of course, cast, we have to talk about puzzles.
Cast 10 random spells, targets chosen randomly.
Mm-hmm.
Yogg-Saron was nerfed because it was so powerful at swinging the game.
Mm-hmm.
That it was a 7/5 body attached to it, but it typically gave you 10-ish between, 10-ish spells.
Yeah.
You could obviously ramp it up a little bit more in some classes, like Druid, for example, but you would expect to go into it having 10 spells, and we saw how powerful it was. It was nerfed so that once Yogg-Saron died or silenced or whatever, the spells would stop casting. This does not have that. This will continue to cast until all 10 are done, and you can expect to draw a bunch of cards, probably clear the board, maybe even give you a secret or a minion on the board after that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of afraid. Yogg-Saron is... If you've never played against Yogg-Saron, it's hard to describe how absolutely bonkers the games were. But it essentially came down to who had the better Yogg-Saron won that game. The rest of the game did not matter.
Just play as many cheap spells. This is only in
Mage.
Yep.
Yeah, this is only in Mage. It costs 10 mana. There's no 7/5 body attached to it. It's a little bit safer.
Yes. You know.
But I'm very, very, very cautious about this card.
The thing that's scary about this is the fact that it's a spell. And there are ways to discover spells or get spells randomly into your hand. I'm looking at you. Cyclone, and
can you imagine turn 10 Calic goes into Puzzle Box?
I was thinking of
like how you would use this, but yeah, you know, you're at Calic Ghost is exactly it. Put a 4/12 body on the board first, and if you don't like what you discover, rip Puzzle Box and see what happens. Go. I mean, to be fair, this card can lose you the game as well.
It could.
So, let's...
I think it's one of those things where I think you're probably not playing it unless you've got a fairly sizable chance of losing anyway, which is why Yogg-Saron was... or when Yogg-Saron was played in a lot of instances. But it's going to steal games that you shouldn't win, because that's what Yogg-Saron was doing there for a while.
Yeah. And now we're going to take a look at the Druid class. Mage, you want to start and give us a bit of a summary of the developer's insight on the class of Druid?
Yeah, Druid's interesting. They've got magic, they've got beasts, they've got swarms of woodland creatures that they use to win games. But they said they're limited in the ways they can directly clear out enemy minions. So the strengths they specifically highlight are mana generation, giant minions, minion swarms, beasts, and card draw. And their weaknesses are destroying big minions and board clears.
So my only problem with that is the mana generation sure seems a lot weaker after the nerf bat hit them.
Yeah, I feel like Mana Generation was definitely something. It's still in. We should be fair that there's still Mana Generation in the class. It just doesn't feel like Mana Generation you want to use now because of the cost associated to it versus what it was before.
Yeah,
it made sense where it was located before versus where it is now, because it feels like because you have to do it a turn later, you're even further behind.
So let's just explain real quick. Wild Growth, which is a 3-mana spell, gain an empty mana crystal, used to cost 2 mana. And then Wild Growth was the other mana generation, which is... Nourish, correct? I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. I said Wild Growth again. Nourish, it was the other one, which used to cost 5 and now costs 6, which is gain 2 mana crystals or draw 3 cards. So that kind of, once those cards got pushed back up, they haven't seen a lot of play since.
Is skipping turn 2 so that you can have 4 mana the next turn feels completely different than skipping turn 3 and then having 5 mana afterwards. It just, from the standpoint of, you know, right now it feels like the meta is definitely a little bit more on the aggressive side, and taking that, you know, those extra couple turns, you know, those extra turns, you can get really far behind in those instances. And I for the advantage of having that extra mana crystal, it just doesn't feel worth it. And I think that's why you're not seeing much in the way of mana generation right now in Druid decks.
So I would argue that the mana generation is still slightly underpowered, but still completely worth it. What we're lacking right now is sufficient payoff. There's just not enough end game for Druid to justify running it, especially when you compare it to Token Druid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it spots in the deck that don't really affect the board in any way, shape, or form. The reason mana generation was really good before now is you had Ultimate Infestation that you were ramping into that gave you armor, gave you a 5/5 minion, it drew you cards, and then suddenly game on, right? You don't have that anymore.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Ultimate Infestation was one of the biggest payoff cards in the game ever, and not having that, or... I mean, more generally, any powerful late game, like Malygos Druid is kind of a thing, but it's without the armor gain that it had before, without the Death Knight, or without Spreading Plague, it doesn't have enough defensive options to get to its late game fast enough. So if we see some more like late game stuff, like big Druid minions that impact the board immediately, and one or two defensive cards, I could definitely see Druid, mana ramping Druid making a comeback.
Yeah, I agree with you that they're a little underpowered, but they can still see play. And I think, yeah, if they get a few more defensive options, I feel like Malygos is still a pretty valid strategy, because most of the key cards are still there. I mean, Boonfire and Swipe are still there, and we still got Flubidness Floop for another couple months, and Faceless Manipulator is still there. It's a basic...
Dream Petal Florist is the big one.
Dream Petal Florist, for you guys who don't know, is a 7-mana 4/4 Druid minion that reads, at the end of your turn, reduce a minion's cost in your hand by 7. So things get silly when you get a 2-mana Malygos.
Yeah, especially if you have either the Faceless and an Innervate, or just Flabidness Floop in your hand, in which case you can play 2 Malygos, Swipe, Moonfire.
Yep.
Which is usually enough to kill.
14, 26, 37. Yeah, not many classes can take a 37 damage in a single turn and live to tell the tale.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's pretty much just Warrior at this point.
Exactly.
But the big when you're looking at Druid, it's either tends to go two ways. It tends to either use these cards like Wild Growth and Nourish and Swipe to excel. Not so much Swipe. Swipe's more of a defensive tool, but using a Wild Growth and Nourish to accelerate their mana so that they're playing either larger minions than you are that you cannot deal with, or cards like Ultimate Infestation to get you more cards to accelerate to their combo, getting finished faster. So the key cards in those, pretty much every single time, whether you're talking about Big Druid or Malagos Druid or Togwaggle Druid or Taunt Druid or Jade Druid, the most important cards in those decks are Wild Growth and Nourish. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that changes, even though they've been nerfed. I think what's just happened is it's, one, it's not the greatest meta for it right now, but more importantly, the end game isn't there right now.
So let's switch gears up a little bit here, and let's talk about the most viable meta archetype for Druid right now, which is Token Druid. So let's talk about key cards here first.
Yeah, the key cards in this are, there's a few that come in and out, but most consistently it's Soul of the Forest and Savage Roar.
Mm-hmm.
You can include Power of the Wild into that. So the two biggest key cards in that is Savage Roar and Soul of the Forest. So what Soul of the Forest is, it's a 4-mana spell that gives all of your minions death rattle, summon a 2/2 Treant. What that means is your board is extremely sticky and it's hard to deal with. So if you have a 6 or 7 minions on the board, they have to clear your board once to deal with those 6 minions, and then they have to clear your board again to deal with the next 6 Treants that you summon. And if you don't decide to clear them both, you decide that I'm just going to go phase. This is where Savage Roar comes in and you get hit with a ton of damage.
Yeah.
They always have Savage Roar.
Three mana, give
all characters.
All creatures on your side. All friendly, all characters on your side.
Correct.
Yes, so that's all of your minions and your hero itself. So if you have 6 minions, that is 3 mana, deal 14 damage.
Yeah.
14.
It's nuts. And if you go into double Savage Roar territory, then suddenly deal 28 damage. So it can pack a punch pretty much out of nowhere. And they have a lot of ways to generate bodies. Because really all they need are bodies with Soul of the Forest. So you have things like Whispering Woods, which is summon 1/1, is a 4-mana, summon a 1/1 wisp for every card in your hand. So if you have at least 7 cards in your hand after you play it, suddenly you have a full board. And if it's later in the game, you can immediately Soul of the Forest. And then you have a very sticky board.
Yeah, they also use neutral cards like the Microtech
Controller.
Nishin, I think it micro. Yeah, the 3 mana 2/1 that summons the 1/1 mini bots.
Mm-hmm.
It can also run Explodinator. Right now, it's running a more mech heavy package to try and deal with the warrior. Yeah,
it makes sense.
Snip Snap is obviously fantastic in this deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, things that create multiple, summon multiple.
The Forest Aid huge one.
Yeah,
it's 8 mana, summon 5 2/2s with Twin Spell. That's suddenly 4 boards of 5 minions that you have to deal with every single one of them, because if you don't, then you get Savage Droid. They also have Acorn Bearer, which is a 1 mana 2/1 that when it dies, you get 2 1/1 scroll tokens to your hand. Like, everything that Druid can do is generating these small, dinky minions that you have to be super afraid of, because they're not really 1/1s. They're, like, 5/1s.
Oh, yeah. And it's
Yeah, between the buff card, and then they also run a package of buff cards that go with it. So even if you don't deal with them right away, then they can suddenly become a bit more formidable even before the Savage Aura comes into
play. Yeah, and they have just ways to generate bodies. Dreamite Guardians, which is a 2-mana spell that costs summons 2/1/2 minions with lifesteal. Landscaping, which summons... It's a 3-cost that summons 2 tree ants. So they've got a lot of ways to summon a wide board up the curve.
Yeah, it's greatest. So the ramp style druid's natural enemy has been making large minions that you cannot deal with or going very aggressive very quickly. And not having enough armor or life gain or taunts to put in the way. And the natural counter to the token druids has been cheap board clears.
Mm-hmm.
More specifically, Warpath.
Yep.
That yeah, card single-handedly beats token druid.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, and that's...
I was going to say one other thing that we're seeing with the token druids... Some token druids are also, you know, they have all these cheap minions and have ways of getting a bunch of minions out on the board. An alternative is, to go with that is they'll put sea giants in the deck. And so then you can suddenly, in addition to having a bunch of small creatures, you can throw an 8/8 sea giant on the board starting at about turn 5 or something, because you've got 4 or 5 other creatures on the board just on your side, and that's not even accounting for what your opponent might be doing to try and keep up.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. What would you say the greatest weakness, like the biggest weaknesses of a token druid are? We obviously mentioned Warpath.
Yeah. Anything that deals with multiple minions in the same turn. So, for example, the Restless Mummy card that was revealed that we talked about earlier would be huge against this kind of deck. Dynomatic is absolutely fantastic. Looking
freeze
into other
effects from Mage would be pretty solid to ensure what they can't do that big Savage Roar.
Exactly.
Combo, right? You're postponing it.
Mm-hmm. Timeout is a really powerful delay tool from Paladin. Along it typically runs Wild Pyromancer as well, which does very well against token style decks.
So Wild Pyromancer and cheap mana or cheap spells are a good way to deal with it. So Priest.
historically things like Psychic Scream, Mass Hysteria, Spreading Plague, Defile. These are all really powerful counters to the token style decks because they're able to deal with those cards either efficiently or get out a stronger body, like in the case of Spreading Plague.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Psychic Scream doesn't care that you have Soul of the Forest and a bunch of 4/4 minions on the board. All of that is going into your deck, and then for the next like couple turns, you're probably just drawing 2/2 trance, and that's absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, it feels real bad. So
it's being Hall of Famed now, but Vanish was another really good one.
Yeah, Vanish was a very good way to deal with it. Sap doesn't really even come close to doing well with it, but
no. But going, for example, Backstab SI Dagger on turn 3 as a rogue, you know, that could swing you the board and at least delay it to a point where you can try and do your own crazy things.
Yeah, you kind of have to move quick against token druids. I've noticed one of their weaknesses too is as playing as a token druid, drawing your buffs and no minions, or drawing all your minions with no buffs. You kind of need a very balanced hand to make a real powerful strike, because if you're playing Whispering Woods and you don't have any follow-up to it, except for, you know, a couple more 1/2 minions, sure, they can, sure you can start chipping away at them, which is not a bad thing, but eventually you need something, you typically need something to close out the game, because a lot of the time they'll be able to catch up and make some sort of move onto the board that prevents you from just killing them. So it's a very, I feel like silly saying this, but it's like, it's a very draw dependent deck, and they don't have any way, or they don't run any way to draw any cards. So it's kind of like you take what you get every turn, except for, I guess, Wrath. Wrath is the only exception I can think to that, because I still see Token Druid running Wrath.
Yeah, I think you want to find, initially you want the minions in your hand, and then you hope that either through just drawing cards each turn, or with Wrath, or just kind of, just as things happen, that you're going to find the buffs you need, so that you can complement the board that you're building.
Okay, so that's kind of Token Druid in a nutshell. We kind of already went over Mana Ramp Druid, which kind of covers Big Druid, Combo Druid, Taunt, Jade. So we kind of hit the key cards in those. I mean, and the cards are a little bit different for each of these, one of the other additional cards, but they're generally built on the fact that Wild Growth and Nurture, why can't I remember the name of the card? Nurture. So those are kind of,
there's some nurturing going on.
They're all a bit different in what their end game is, but the most important part about it is they're trying to do something extremely powerful before your opponent can deal with
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Dealing with an Ultimate Infestation on turn 10, you can sometimes manage that. Dealing with the Ultimate Infestation on turn 6, oh boy.
Oh yeah, exactly. It's like I just took, you just cleared.
Druids never did that. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're right. They did that on turn 5.
Exactly. Turn 5.
That was when Innervate cost
with the coin.
Innervate gave you 2 mana. It was stupid and nerfed like 3 weeks later.
Yep. Oh. And then just remember when they could start adding more stuff to it with Arcane Tyrant. That was fun. Just like, oh, yeah. Exactly. Free 4/4s. Well, yeah. Like, I don't have to worry about my hand being full because I'm going to get a 4/4 that I can just play with this and put 9/9 stats on the board after I did 5 damage, drew 5 cards, summoned a 5/5, and gained 5 armor. That was the best legendary Druid ever got.
Knights of the Frozen Throne was a stupid expansion.
It really was. It was.
Giving them Ultimate Infestation, the Malfurion Death Knight, and Spreading Plague in the same set.
Yeah, I don't think that was well thought out.
That was well thought out for Druid to be really good for quite a while.
It was 3 weeks of play Druid or lose.
That sounds like the mid-range Shaman meta.
Oh, yeah. That was like 4 months of play Shaman or lose.
Exactly.
Well, otherwise known as One Night.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then last, there's 2 more. And we should mention that, like, Combo and Taunt and Jade are used to be in Standard. Now they're all Wild because the cards that have enabled those archetypes are Wild cards now. But there's OTK Druid and Togwaggle Druid, which, again, start out very much similar, where they build upon the Nourish Wild Growth combination to ramp the mana as quick as possible. And their ends were a little bit different. Togwaggle Druid was empty your deck, switch decks with your opponent, and then burn them out.
Double naturalize.
Such a frustrating way to lose a game is just watching your opponent just speed through their deck like it's on fire, and then quickly change decks and then suddenly just start milling you with Naturalize. It was just so frustrating. Yeah,
thankfully Naturalize has been sent to the Hall of Fame because it was one mana destroy a minion.
Your opponent
doesn't matter if it's a doesn't matter what it is. Like it could be a 12-12 or like that 30-30 Edwin that rogues always seem to have on turn mm-hmm. 4.
Because that's fair and balanced.
Hey, it requires skill to get it to be 30-30, it's true. So it's, you know, it's not your standard.
Exactly.
No.
So, yeah, it was one mana, destroy a minion, your opponent draws two cards. Which is a downside if you're destroying something that... you know, like a Twilight Drake or maybe even like a giant of some kind. And it's like, well, you know, I struggled with, you know, killing the board, but now, you know, they draw two cards. So there's an upside for them for you destroying their minion.
It's kind of ironic as other cards got more powerful,
mm-hmm.
Naturalize became better.
That's true.
Like, yeah. It wasn't very good to do on a Twilight Drake, but when everyone is suddenly playing Mountain Giants on, like, turn 3 on Odd Warlock, Naturalize seemed pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Warlocks. Even Warlock. Odd yeah. Warlock. Jesus.
You know, it's one of those things that I played a lot of Togwaggle Druid back in the day, and I could not beat even Warlock with Togwaggle Druid. That was just not a, like... You felt like, okay, I can naturalize this first Mountain Giant, and then it's like, I can never get through my deck in enough time to not just be dead for the amount of big threats that even Druid could drop in a short period, or even Warlock could drop in a short period of time. It was just such a consistent deck. It was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You've got cards like Juicy Psych Melon and stuff that help facilitate that deck mm-hmm. now, where that's 4 mana draw a 7, 8, 9, and 10 mana card yep. from your deck, and so it kind of just sets you up for what you're trying to do with those decks, because the OTK for those is those heavy the high cost
cards. Especially when you look back at Aviana. Before she was nine mana, because Aviana is all your minions cost one, so the big combo, everyone was trying to figure out a big combo for her, because they came out with Kun the Forgotten King, which is a 10 mana card that either choose one, either gain 10 armor or refresh your 10 mana crystals. So,
and you always refresh your mana exactly. crystals and then just do craziness after that.
Exactly. And then you can play a bunch of cards that all cost one. And then they released Starliner, which was 7 mana, 7/7. If you control, was it 2? It's 3 mana, 3 minions with 7 health, do 7 damage to all enemies.
And did we mention that Kun was a 7/7 as exactly. well? Exactly. So you already had one on the board.
Exactly.
And you just
normally yeah. the other card that you would play would Deve. Be Medivh.
Yep.
So this was thankfully never in standard because yes. Aviana rotated out before, but you would mana ramp up, draw your cards with Juicy Psych Melon, play Aviana for 9 mana. Kun was 1. So it refreshed your mana crystals, play Medivh, and then, like, normally you would play Brand Bronzebeard as mm-hmm. well. And then you would Staraliner them twice and just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just win the game. So there seems to be consistency here in that Druid, when no pun intended, these stars aligned, they can do some ridiculous... single turn damage things.
So you drop 2 Starliners, which did 28 damage, and then you Hero Power, which gives you +1 attack, and then you have Medivh Staff equipped, which is a 1/3 weapon, and then you swing face, and that's 30 damage.
And normally they'd get this off on like turn 5, 6.
Yeah, that was the real problem, that they could ramp up so quickly. So it's kind of good that things kind of calm down a little bit. I really personally wish they hadn't nerfed both. I wish they would have left Nourish alone. I think I liked Nourish at 5.
Yeah, but then
5.
You get the problem of wild growth on 3 into Nourish the next turn, which is also pretty disgusting. So
that's fair. I get it. No, I get it. Don't get me wrong. But I still feel like it could have a place somewhere. And I'm sure that someone's going to try it because it always happens. Big Druid is one of those decks that always comes back every now and then. So I guess we'll just have to see what else comes out in this new set. And hopefully we'll start getting more than just one archetype per class. I mean, there's a few other classes that can, but it generally feels right now when you see a class on ladder, you know what archetype they're playing, except Priest, because who knows what the heck Priest is going to be playing. Probably Inner Fire combo Priest.
I think the
priest.
Only class right now that actually has multiple viable different strategies is Hunter, which, hey, good transition. Yeah. That's our next week's class.
Yeah. That's true. Yes, next week we will be talking about Hunter. So let's go ahead and wrap up the show this week. So, Mage, you mentioned a poll question for the week.
So,
you want
to
go ahead?
So the poll question for this week that I'll post on Twitter, would love to get everyone's feedback on, is what is your preferred style for playing Druid? Do you like the token Druid style, buffing cards and savage roaring your opponent? Do you like big minion Druid? Do you like the taunt Druid that we had for a while, the jade mechanic where you got to make bigger and bigger green men? Or do you like OTK Druids, things like the Aviana combo or the Togwaggle combo? Or I even hardly bring this up, but like the old OTK Force of Nature Savage Roar combo, which is kind of the precursor to our current modern token Druid, right? It seems tame by standards. We were talking about, you know, Aviana being able to do like 30 damage. We talked about Malagos being able to do, you know, almost 40 damage in a turn. 18 damage with Force of Nature Savage Roar seems tame by comparison for these. So those three, and then if there's another some other type of druid that you like playing, maybe Heal Druid, maybe you've got the long lost Beast Druid that the developers were talking about, let us know what your preferred style of druid is, and we'll briefly discuss it next week before talking about Hunter.
Awesome. I know I have my answer, so you will have to tune in
taunt
next week.
Druid.
To hear
Taunt Druid.
Yeah. It is Taunt Druid. Not just Taunt Druid. Undertaker.
That's too far for me. That's too next level. I'm fine with my Hadronox and bringing him back with Witching Hour. I'm fine with that.
Witching Hour in cubes, so you get like eight boards of taunts. Yeah.
Carnivorous Cube was so freaking stupid.
Yeah, I was going to say, has there been a more broken card in Hearthstone than Carnivorous Cube? Carnivorous Cube deserved a nerf and never got one.
Especially with Naturalize. You just naturalize your own Carnivorous Cube to kind of speed things along.
Carnivorous Cube, Dark Pact, there's just so many stupid things you can do with Carnivorous Cube, so... Spirit Singer Umbra.
All right, we got to wrap this up.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so Nicolaias, tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, I'm at Nicolaias123 on Twitter. I am also on our Discord and the Coin Conceit Discord. I also do coaching on Gamer Sensei, so if you want to check that out, I would love to have a lesson with you.
Mage?
You can find me on Twitch. I stream 3 nights a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 5:30 Pacific time. Otherwise, I'm on Twitter at Mage of Death as well. So definitely check us out in the Dr. 3 Discords.
The link to that is on our Twitter. It's pinned to the top. So if you go to Dr. 3 HS on Twitter, you can find that. Also, you can email us at dr3hs@gmail.com if you have any questions or concerns or anything you want to hear about. And then finally, you can hear from me at Daring Alkaline on Twitter. And I think that'll wrap us up this week. Guys, thanks for tuning in. And this has been Dr. Three.
Boom.